Good morning. Welcome to Monitor Bible Church. Online again due to a lot of illness around in the congregation. So we are celebrating here the first Sunday of Advent. And if you would join me in a word of prayer, and then we will go ahead with things today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can be here today. We thank you for the technology that you've given us that allows us to meet in a virtual church service, to have this time together. And Lord, I thank you so much for the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ that is what we are looking forward to as we go through our Advent season. Just ask for your blessing on us this morning as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I always do an Advent series, and this year I'm doing a little bit different from ones that I've done in the past, but we always start with lighting the Advent candle. So this Sunday, since Advent is this time of preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ, it seems to make sense to me that as we prepare for his birth, that we should think about who Jesus is. And there's a lot of ways to approach that question. But this year, we're going to take each week and look at one of the roles that Jesus has played in his earthly ministry. The first week, we're going to consider Jesus as prophet. And then the second week, Jesus as priest. Third week, Jesus as redeemer. And the fourth, final week of Advent, we will think about Jesus as king. Then on Christmas morning, we will kind of wrap everything up and put it all together and come to a grand conclusion. So we're going to start with the role of prophet, one that is an often misunderstood thing. We don't always understand what it means to be a prophet, but it's a very important part of Jesus' ministry. And it's one of those things that as we think about what Jesus did here on earth, we really need to think about Jesus, the prophet. And so going into Scripture, John chapter 14, and I'm just going to read 8 through 11. It's Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." We are lighting our first candle of the Advent season, and this is the virtual candle lighting here. And we'll just kind of go out of frame and pretend we're lighting a candle over there. So we have lit the first Advent candle to remember that Jesus is a prophet. That in all of his roles, this is one of those central parts of his ministry. That he was a prophet sent from God with a message for all of mankind. So as we go on here, our scripture reading this morning is from John, again, chapter 12, and verses 44 through 50. John 12, 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Always seems when I do these things online, like we're just blasting ahead at a colossal rate, and I guess in a sense we are. There's not the extra time of shuffling and standing up and sitting down and people moving around and everything. So we're basically, in 10 minutes here, we've gotten through half an hour of church service, and we're ready to get down to my message. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and Advent is a period of time leading up to Christmas where we prepare ourselves to think about the birth of Jesus. And again, it's not specifically about the birth of Jesus, but the fact that God became man, that he came to live on earth and to be here with us. And so traditionally, over the years, Christians have come up with a variety of ways through these weeks to focus on Jesus, to draw closer to him and think more about him. So this year, we're going to look each week at one of the roles that Jesus has in his earthly ministry. And so during his earthly ministry, Jesus was a prophet, a priest, a redeemer, and a king. And so each week we're going to be examining one of these. This week we're going to start with Jesus as prophet. And of course, every time we talk about prophets or prophecy, I think it's a real good idea to remind ourselves what a prophet is or what he isn't. Because the first thing is that the common thinking when we think about a prophet is we think of someone who is foretelling the future. But that's not really an accurate description of a prophet. It's certainly not an accurate definition of what a biblical prophet is. Biblical prophets sometimes are telling things about the future. Often we have sections or large sections of prophecy that look to the future, but the telling of events in the future is almost always not the actual point of what they are telling. That's not the reason. They talk about the future, but they're talking about the future to make a point at the moment, and the future is not really the issue. And so the work of the prophet, if we want to come up with a good definition, let's just say the work of a prophet is to present to their audience, and I'm going to say audience here rather than listeners, because if you go through and you read the prophets of the Old Testament, one of the things you're going to see is it looks like a lot of the time, nobody's listening. The prophets are talking, they have an audience, so to speak, but nobody is listening. But they're going to present to that audience the message that God has entrusted to them. They are going to be a speaker of God's truth. And so this means that they're not creating their own messages, and that the reasons behind those messages lie in God's plan and not in normal human desires or understanding. So one of the other things about a prophet that's important to think about is that they're often given messages that are difficult to understand. And I think in the case of a lot of Old Testament prophets, they didn't even understand them themselves completely. God's messages make sense when we hear them in the Spirit, but they don't make sense to those who are in rebellion, who are not walking with the Lord and are not listening through the Spirit. And even when we hear them through the Spirit, they can be a little bit vague. They can be a little difficult to comprehend. And particularly if it is a message which talks about something in the future, it's likely that the only way we're going to understand it is once the events have gone past and we're looking back at them. Now, some of the prophecies, you know, regarding the destruction of Israel, the destruction of Jerusalem, were pretty explicit. Those weren't real hard to figure out. But a lot of your prophecies that look to the future, and I've always said this, history, when presented in prophecy, it is like painting a portrait with one of those big wide barn brushes, 4-inch paintbrush. You get the general idea but the details are pretty vague. So the idea of prophecy giving us a picture into the future, yeah, it might, but it's always going to be very vague. That isn't the point. It's not supposed to present the future. Now, prophets, and what is a prophet? Of course, the prophet is the person who has this message, but in general, prophets were ordinary men and women who were called by God. They were given a measure of the Holy Spirit so that they would be able to bring God's message. Now, Jesus is a prophet, not quite in an identical sense of a lot of the Old Testament prophets. And we're going to look a little bit at how he is a prophet. But if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, and Moses is talking here, and he's giving the law and everything here. And in 18:15, he says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." And this is that there's going to be this new prophet like Moses, who, of course, Moses has had this incredibly close relationship with God. And that's a vital part of what the Jews will understand across time, is that close relationship that Moses has with God. And so a prophet like Moses is going to be a prophet who has a very great relationship with God, who has intense understanding, and he's going to be bringing them a message that they will hear. And of course, how well people hear when God speaks is a little shaky sometimes, but it's an important message that they need to hear. And so later on, God sends through another prophet, he sends another message about a prophet. And so in Isaiah chapter 9, and this is a good Christmas passage here in Isaiah 9, and Isaiah 9 verse 2, we have, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Now here's where we get this message about a great light. And like I said, prophecy can be obscure, and it uses symbolism. It uses these symbolic words and images and things to get a message across. Well, what is light? You know, this is a very straightforward kind of thing. What is light? Light reveals things. It shows what was previously hidden. And so when we talk about a great light that's being shined on them, that they're going to have this great light, it's an opportunity for knowledge and understanding. And so when he's talking about the people who walked in darkness suddenly have a light, these are the people who have not been able to see God because they have blinded themselves, because they've deliberately put themselves in darkness. And now God is saying, "I'm going to send a light that will penetrate that darkness, and you will be able to see the truth." And so God is going to send a light. That light is going to be a prophet, a message coming through a prophet. And so as we continue to work our way up through the timeline on all of these things, we're now going to step up to the Gospel of John. And I've got a lot of things out of the Gospel of John this morning. But John really touches on a lot of the characteristics of Christ that get missed a little bit in the other Gospels. This was one of John's purposes, was to reveal some more of the detail of who Jesus is. And so in John chapter 1, verse 9, now if you read down through the first part of chapter 1, this is great stuff, but you get to chapter 1, verse 9, and let's back up just a little bit so that it makes sense. Go back to verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." That's John the Baptist. "This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So that's John is to bear witness of this light. And in verse 9, this is what we want. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was the true light that was coming into the world. This is the light, and you think about that. What does it say back there in Isaiah? That God is sending a light. And here, John is talking about Jesus as the true light. And staying in the Gospel of John, but turning up to chapter 8, Jesus himself, referring to himself, in chapter 8, verse 12, says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And so think about what Isaiah said back there in 9, that there was a light coming. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And Jesus said, I am the light. Those who are walking in darkness will be able to see by this light. You know, so here's Jesus saying, I'm the light, and I'm going to cast the light of God into the world, and this is going to bring understanding. This is how people are going to understand that what the message of God is. So as Jesus is teaching on earth and going through his earthly ministry, his hearers are beginning to see him in this role as a prophet, someone who's bringing a message from God. And again, in John, and I'm actually backing up to John chapter 6, Jesus performs a miracle. In John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. And in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then these men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. So they see this miracle, and they call him the prophet. Well, this is actually a very interesting little reference, because when they call him the prophet here, they're actually referencing back to a previous miracle. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. And if you go to 2 Kings chapter 4, and in verse 42, now this is Elisha, the prophet Elisha, one of the two really great prophets of the kingdom years of Israel, Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha performs lots of miracles. And here's one, 2 Kings 4:42. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God, bread of the first fruits. Now the man of God here is Elisha. 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. And that's the he here is Elisha. But his servant said, what, shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. And so we look at this miracle here. Elisha performs a miracle where he feeds 100 men with 20 loaves of barley bread, and they all eat, and they have some left over. And Jesus has done this up here in John chapter 6. He's done this where he's fed 5,000 people, and he started with less. He started with what did he have here? 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, you know, so he's starting with less. He's got more people to feed. And when everything is done, he ends up with 12 baskets of leftovers. So he ends up with more leftovers. So the miracle of Elisha, the prophet Elisha, performing this miracle that it talks about, you know, this is from the word of the Lord, this is God causing this to happen, is now being echoed by Christ, but it's an echo that's louder than the original. So when Jesus does this, he's proclaiming himself to be a prophet in the nature of Elisha, but more so, greater than Elisha, more powerful, more significant. And so Jesus has declared himself as a prophet in his words and also through his actions. He's doing things that demonstrate that God is speaking through him. God is acting through him. And so he continues to make these kind of proclamations throughout his ministry. And of course, one of these shows up in Luke chapter 13. In Luke 13:33, Jesus is getting ready to go up to Jerusalem, and in 13:33 says, "Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem." Now, there's a little bit of snark in what he's saying there, because prophets died in other places. But the important thing is that Jesus identifies himself as a prophet. That's what matters out of this. He sees himself as a prophet. At least that's what matters for us this morning. Well, other stuff some other time. And so this is him proclaiming himself as a prophet, you know, just using the word. And we also have in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, verse 29, and the people are hearing him preach and talk and everything. And in verse 28, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." One having authority. And that right there is the really significant thing that's coming out, is that he's speaking with authority. It's not something that's small. When people look and they hear him talk, they recognize that he's not repeating what someone else has said. Now, no human should speak the words of God or say they're speaking the words of God unless it is the words of God, that it is, they can confirm that it's coming from the Lord. You know, Jesus did miracles to confirm his authority to speak. And the scribes were very careful that they always based their teaching on either a interpretation of scripture that they already had or on previous scribal teachings, which of course were based on interpretations of scripture. But Jesus spoke to them simply in his own right. And we use that word authority. And of course, there's no accident that the word author and the word authority have the same root. That speaking with authority means that he is speaking as the one who creates, the one who authors what he says. So when he speaks here, what he is speaking is the word of God. And so that brings us back to our scripture for today, back to John chapter 12. And as we look at this, in going through this section here, 12:44 through 50, and Jesus talks about those who are not believing in, we aren't believing in him, but we're believing in the one who sent him. He's establishing himself as one who is sent. Again, that's the role of a prophet, someone who is sent by God. And so we go down to verses 49 and 50 at the end of this passage. And he says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So Jesus is asserting here that even though he's been speaking with authority, he's not speaking on his own authority. This is the authority of the prophet, that the prophet speaks with authority because the prophet is speaking what God has given them, that this is the message that comes from the Lord. Now, this drops us into a really complicated and challenging Trinitarian issue, and I am just going to mention it and ignore it. Recognizing that Jesus is God, when Jesus says that I'm speaking for the Father, what exactly that means, how that works out, not going to go into that. What we want to think about is the fact that Jesus, as a human, in his human form, during this time of his human ministry on earth, think about Jesus as being answerable to God the Father. Or if we don't want to keep breaking God into the Trinity, that he's answerable to God in his entirety, that Jesus as God is answerable to all of God. And so this is the true prophet speaking, that he can only speak what has been entrusted to him. That's the important thing, is that the message of Jesus is a direct, authoritative message from God. It's not something that he's making up on the fly. And so this is, you know, at the heart of why it's important that we think about Jesus as a prophet. We're coming into Christmas, you know, why all the things that we're going to talk about, why it's important and all of the things about Jesus. But when Jesus teaches, his teachings are not his own devisings. He is teaching a message from God. And so that makes all of those things extra important for us to study, to understand, to follow. I have a little book that somebody gave me a long time ago called What Did Jesus Say About That? It's not a great book by any means, but the title raises a really important perspective. Because when we think about any issue, any kind of understanding of scripture or whatever, what did Jesus say about that? Because he is absolutely our best source of understanding, because he is a genuine prophet. He is maybe the genuine prophet. And so words of the genuine prophet are truth. And so when we look at the teachings of Jesus, we are looking at the closest thing we can get to the absolute truth of God. And so how do we get our knowledge, our understanding of God? You know, if we're not getting our knowledge of God, if we don't come to an understanding of God by getting that from God himself, I can pretty much guarantee that we're getting some of it, and maybe a lot of it, wrong. See, God reveals himself throughout scripture. But it's only when we get to Jesus Christ that we get the complete revelation of who he is and what he is doing there. Now, obviously, there's stuff in the future that's still going on. But what we can understand is fully revealed in Jesus. And so, how do we work with that? What do we do with it? And I think there's a great truth that we need to carefully think about and carry in mind. And that is that when Jesus gives any specific teaching, when there's something that he says, and honestly, we don't have a vast array of the teachings of Jesus. Someone once said that you could take all of the words of Christ that are recorded in the four Gospels and sorting out the duplicates, that you could read all of them out loud in less than half an hour. I've never done that. I've always thought I should, but never bothered. There's not a huge amount, but Jesus touches on a huge number of issues, and he also establishes principles. There's your challenge, is that the prophet doesn't give the completely elucidated and expounded detail of how to handle something. He gives a principle, and that principle then has to be understood and applied, and we need to work with it. So what do we do? Jesus gives us some kind of teaching. He sets forth a principle. And when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, it's a very simple principle. But how do you apply that? What does that mean? How do we work with it? And Jesus even goes and gives more explanation on that one, because that's a real challenging one. But if we take those principles and we study them and we meditate on them and we compare them to the rest of Scripture and we carefully consider, what does it mean and how do we obey it? Are we doing that? Are we taking those teachings from Jesus? And are we meditating on them? Are we considering them? Are we trying to figure out how to obey them? What do they really mean in our current daily lives? See, the more that I study the Old Testament, I see people ignoring messages from the prophets. And of course, like I said, prophecy is easy to miss at the moment. And so they're talking about, you know, these things that are coming, disasters and horrible visions and all of this stuff. And it's not about the future. Those messages are not about the future. Those messages are about what are the people doing right now. That's why our verse of interest here today from Ezekiel is that idea of repent, that sin can be turned away from. This was the message of all the Old Testament prophets, was turn away from your sin, turn back to the Lord, follow the Lord. And this was the message of Jesus. And those Old Testament people heard the prophets, they heard the messages, but they ignored them. They didn't listen. They didn't try to figure out what the prophets were saying, and they didn't try to apply that. And so I look at the Old Testament, I look at the people doing that, and I become concerned about Christians in the modern world, because there's a lot of Christians in the modern world who don't seem to take the words of Jesus particularly seriously. He is the prophet. He's the prophet that God sent to be a light to the world, to illuminate those dark spots, to give us complete understanding, to make it so we could really understand what God wanted. And so we need to know the words of Jesus so that we can know the words of the Lord. We can know the message of God. So as we come into Christmas here, we go through Advent, we're coming into Christmas, we've got this time when we should be maybe looking away from some of the other things and focusing on the coming of Christ. One of the important things is that Christ was coming as the prophet, that he was coming to bring the words of the Lord, to be that incredible, incredible light to the world. So let's commit ourselves this Christmas season to study the things that he has said to us, study his words, and to look at the commandments, the instructions that he gives us, the things that he wants us to do, the way that he wants us to think, the way that he wants us to act. Think about those things, meditate on those things, dwell on those things, and try with all of our energy, try to do what Jesus has commanded. Let's listen to the words of the prophet this Christmas. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you have given us the incredible message and words of Jesus. You've given us a prophetic word, a voice from you. And I pray, Lord, that we would listen, that we would turn our hearts toward you, that we would focus on these things, that we would devote ourselves at this time to trying to live, to think, to talk, act in ways that truly follow your guidance, follow the messages you gave through your words, through your actions. And help us, Lord, that we might be able to live that way, so that we could be a blessing to the world, that we could be showing the world how much you love them. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. And I will, of course, if everything worked correctly technologically, I will be posting the audio of this on the church website. And Lord willing, and if everybody is healthy again, we will see you all next Sunday at church. Have a good day. Take care of yourselves, and God bless you all.